And a good Sunday evening, everyone. Welcome back to camp here in St. Joe. Mitch Holtis with you, voice of the Chiefs, and the 15-year long snapper, Pro Bowl long snapper Kendall Gammon. The Chiefs coming off their 17-13 loss to the New Orleans Saints. Before we get into that, we're going to get into that game in detail, and there's a lot to talk about. But bouncing into this week, I want to ask you how tough the Sunday practice is, because quite honestly, it probably wasn't the numero uno practice of camp so far, but you played this game, you play a preseason game, you go back to camp. What about the challenges and struggles of that?
Well, you know what, you've played a game now, and quite honestly, the tempo has went up a notch. I played 15 years, and I don't know if I was involved in very many practices after the first preseason game that were very good. It's just part of it, and I'll tell you right now, the coaches knew that that was coming too, probably to a degree, and so they're ready to get it going. It's part of it, though. You've got to push through it and get going. The nice thing, we talked about it last week, is now we've got a game every week, the Chiefs do, so you've got that to look forward to. But again, you get those basically 24 hours off, and then you get right back at it. And again, the body's a little bit sore because things have ramped up a little bit. But it is the preseason. It's going, and you've got to get it going.
Well, knock on wood, the Chiefs have had a physical camp, and they came out of the first preseason game with no serious injuries. We didn't come down to you a lot during the radio play-by-play. But we need to tell you that Eric Fisher did not practice today, but Donald Stevenson was back, and Donald got his reps at right tackle that Fisher normally would have had. But you don't get the sense that there's any sense of urgency or extreme worry about Eric Fisher's condition, do you?
No, Coach Reed just talked about there's a little bit of stiffness, and it was a day-by-day thing, so they expect him to play this week, so not a big deal. But if you can take care of somebody who's bruised up a little bit, you may want to do that, and that's what they're doing. Good for Stevenson to take some reps and somewhere else also. So we'll see. I don't expect him to be out long, quite honestly.
They'll go back at it again tomorrow. We'll talk about that in a second. But let's go back to Friday night's game in New Orleans. Now, you couldn't have scripted a better start. This team goes 14 plays, 80 yards, on a drive that I called a surgical strike. What did you see in these plays on the drive?
Well, I think you described it very well, Mitch, in the fact that he got the ball to four different people on the drive. They huddled quickly several times, and sometimes all of a sudden, boom, they're going no huddle. Now, it's not a hurry up, but it's no huddle. And now you get up the line of scrimmage. He's using nonverbal things to communicate to the wide receivers, talking in code to the running backs and the offensive linemen. And what it does, I think, is you control substitution from the defensive side of the ball, and that's a good thing. But he did some good things. You see right there just the fact of getting away when gets a little pressure to the inside. And certainly, you know, Eric doesn't want to give that up in the middle, but he stays with him, and he allows Alex to get to the outside and get something out of it. So I really liked what I saw. You couldn't ask for a better first drive of the preseason.
Saw some shotgun, saw some pistol. Back to the shotgun here. This is a third down conversion. What about this play and Fasano making the catch against Roman Harper, a highly regarded safety?
Well, this is really good. When you look at this in slow motion, he gets there. He gets off the line of scrimmage. You'll see right there he shakes, goes to the inside. Alex sees him and puts it right where Fasano can catch it and nobody else. And that's exactly, you talk about precision strikes as far as the offense goes, precision throws by number 11. That's a good job. Then right here, getting it in 1 foot in front of the numbers and giving him a chance to go down there and make it second and short.
Love Sherman on this drive. We mentioned all throughout these Chiefs live shows, if you're a fullback, and he makes a block here, if you're a fullback in this offense, you have to block and catch. He shows it on this drive. Now they go back to Dexter. They've got the Saints completely on their heels at this point.
Well, you're right. We've thrown swing passes to the outside, both sides. We've run off tackle, both sides. There goes a little bit further. If 89 gets his block, it has a chance. But again, they're just doing good things, moving the ball all around the field. Here does a nice job. And here's something I like. You know, get rid of the ball. There's nothing there. Don't take a chance. Don't try to force it in there. Live to fight another day. You can line up and try it on the next down.
Great point here, because this is second and six. If Walker gets this sack on Smith, now it's going to be third and about 17, and you're going to get a field goal. But he gets outside the tackle box. Then here comes the key play of the drive, finding Charles as a receiver down to the one.
Yeah, and I like the fact that, you know, we'll never know whether that was his second or third read or whether he was just holding people downfield when he was looking to his left. You see him right there looking, then all of a sudden he comes back to Charles coming around to the right. Just a nice job. Jamal, if he keeps the feet, is going in anyhow. But you can't say enough good things about what 11 has brought to this offense.
And this is against Curtis Lofton, one of the top linebackers in the NFC. Look at the ball in the perfect spot. Lofton can't get there. And now you're down at the one. But let's be honest, Chiefs had been brutal in the red zone, but right here, bang, Sherman, not only a pass catcher, makes the block, they power it in from one. That, to me, was a good sign.
It's great, and it's not easy to do, Mitch. You know, he goes in there, he gets his head on the proper side, he scores with his man, takes him in the end zone. Then also you'll see Rodney Hudson right there in the middle, comes off his man, gets right in there, enough on number 50 to keep him from getting into it. Those little things, diving at the feet, wreaking havoc a little bit, making it hard for them to get where they want to do. Eventually, you get the score like you see right now.
Well, this drive, you couldn't have started any better. 14 plays, 80 yards, and a touchdown. And it's, as you mentioned, just dealing every card in the deck and calling all four suits. So let's be honest. In all but one play, I believe, the Saints only had seven in the box. They ran a guy at eighth in, never blitzed. So, but still, what did you see that's the greater good for the whole season overall from the offense when you take it as a whole and you look at all 11 guys on this drive?
Well, it looked to me like there was communication. It looked like he was changing the count up a little bit. All of a sudden, when they wanted to go no huddle, he just moves his hands, says a few things, and all of a sudden they're going there. We've seen it during camp where they've done a lot of nonverbal communication, things of that nature, and it's nice you see it translate to the game. It was, as well as it could be in the first preseason game, it was a well-oiled machine.
Dexter McCluster had the only wide receiver catch on the drive. What's that tell you?
That tells you, yeah, that you've got a lot of different weapons. Four people on that drive, that's awesome. Dexter, you don't know what we'll call him a hybrid, but he can hurt you in so many different ways. And again, it's good to see Jamal get untracked and do some good things. You talked about Sherman, really like seeing that as well. Love the tight ends. Fasano, to me, he's better than advertised. He's doing some really good things.
Well, that was great. Of course, a key component of all this, you saw Jamal Charles as a pass receiver on this drive on several occasions, including the key play on third down and six, and he gets beats Lofton and he gets down to the one-yard line. Let me ask you about Jamal. Now, we've been almost 3 weeks. What are you seeing out of Jamal as a pass receiver? Because people want to kind of tie this back to what Andy had with Brian Westbrook in Philadelphia.
Here's what I see. Jamal, he can make all the catches. We've heard Alex talk about the fact that he loves the fact that Jamal can go out and actually line up as a wide receiver and catch it. What I'm seeing from Jamal is, and what I'm hearing from him, is he understands it's about touches this year and not runs. And I think he's really concentrating on catching the ball and trying to get better like you always want to do, because the fact is he knows if he gets the ball in space, that's what he wants, and that's what strikes fear into defenders on the other side.
And I want to ask you about this, because we're going to talk to Jamal in a second. I sense from these guys who have been around for a while, there is a genuine excitement. What do you sense from the Derek Johnsons, the Jamals, the guys that have been through a lot, coaching changes, coordinator changes, losing games? What about, have you seen from Jamal kind of that feeling of, wait a minute, this offense, these coaches, this whole scenario could be really good?
Well, I think they recognize that Alex Smith is a great QB, can help out, is going to be that field general you want to have. I think we all recognize that Coach Reed has a plan, is a great signal caller. I think from the defensive side, you hear Derek Johnson talk about Bob Sutton's attacking defense. I think Derek, you hear also, he talks about the defensive line and what they're doing, certainly 92, which we'll talk about a little bit later, Dontari Poe. Just, I think everybody's recognizing that there's some weapons here, there's some good things going on, and if they buckle down and they focus, they've got a chance to do some special things.
We get fantasy questions every day. Now, with Jamal Charles, it may not be just about rushing yards this year, but think all-purpose yards. I had a chance to talk with Jamal after practice, and he talks about how he's working at this receiving job he's got.
Let's just talk about the opening drive the other night and being able to go right down the field, and then the one play I want to ask you about, the key third down catch to get it down to the one.
Oh, man, that was an amazing job we did, just going out there and execute and move the ball off the field from the starting from the 20 to the opposite field. I mean, I wish we can do that every time we line up on the opening drive. I wish we can do that on every drive we have this year. And getting to catch the ball on third down, it was just an inside option route. You know, since I was playing man, so I had to just go out there and execute and win. So I tried to win at my position and put us in a better chance of moving up the field and getting the first down. And the goal line play was just physical and physical running, and that's what we need, a physical team and physical O-line. And my fullback, he did a great job opening the hole, just a little crease.
When you saw this offense and what it could do for you all-purpose-wise, tell me about that, and then also working at your receiving skills and not just catching it but route running.
I mean, it's a lot of opportunity for me to say that I can have a lot of chance to in this offense, and a lot of opportunity to put me in great positions that in the past that I wasn't in so much a good a great job. I mean, so many opportunities like catching the ball and making things happen for my team. And I can also get the ball, like, in the pass game as well and splitting out a wide receiver. I mean, I think it's just amazing how this offense set up for me. I can get out in space and try to make plays.
What has been the biggest challenge for you in working at this in being a receiver, basically?
Just working on hands and being disciplined with my hands and try to get soft and relax when the ball comes and be calm, don't get so overwhelmed and don't fight the ball. Try to just look the ball, focus on the ball, focus on the catch and run the right route, run the right depth, and just trying to make something happen.
Jamal is working hard at this receiving task that he's got on hands. What about Eric Bieniemy with him and what you've seen in camp and instructing Jamal?
Well, you know what? I think that's an interesting point because Eric Bieniemy is a great coach. Certainly we know from his days at Colorado and having coached in the league a while. You know, when I spoke with Niall Davis, he talked about Bieniemy and how hard he is on him, but how fair and what he expects from him. And for him, he was talking about pass protection, but I think he realizes that to play in this offense, you have to be a complete back. And right now, number 2-5, Jamal Charles is trying to do just that.
Let's transition to defense, because you said it best on the play-by-play when we went to you on the sideline on Friday night's game. It was not just the offense going 14 plays and 80 yards. If the Saints would have come back ones-on-ones and done the same thing, I don't think we'd be nearly as excited. What about the fact that, let's go to the second phase, because you said, hey, this is all three phases, which is what excited you. The second phase is, what about the defense and how they responded to the offense's drive?
I thought they did a great job. Six plays, and they forced them the punt. This first play right here, the fact of number 92, Don Taripo, he gets rid of his man. He flows down the line of scrimmage, gets his head across, and takes the man down. That, folks, is what you want to see as much as possible, and that's good stuff because I'm going to tell you right now, turnovers eventually happen, and they eventually happen for things like this, and I wasn't sure that maybe wasn't one. But 92, again, got pressure. You see him when he comes off the ball. He's just a great job of swatting the guy away and moving, and then, of course, 91 comes, put the pressure on him. That's the kind of stuff you want. You see right there, he gets the edge on him. I love it. The center tries to tackle him, Mitch, and he doesn't care. He goes after him anyhow. This is a guy that 340 pounds moves like a deer.
This is exciting. And it takes – let's go back to the first play if you guys can reload it here, because this is a linebacker play to me. He goes down the line of scrimmage and gets to the C gap, Kendall.
You're exactly right.
It's like a backer.
It is, absolutely. And, again, flowing laterally, that's what you want. Just does a great job. And you like the fact that Akeem was coming in right there, too, for maybe a 1 or 2 yard gain at the most. So it's good. I think it's good as a linebacker also. You're back there. When you see your defensive lineman doing those kind of things, I think we heard in a quote today, Dante Robinson talking about, you know, just line up, have trust in the man next to you, and do your job. That's awesome. That's what's going on right now.
Now let's go back and look at the third down play again, because we know what Tom Bahali can do off the edge. He does it in this play. The Chiefs also send a fifth guy here, but when you collapse the middle of the pocket,
right?
Breeze is one of the best. Look at the middle goes. No, I mean it's gone, and he's got no shot.
Well, you're right. Instead of stepping up to 2 yards, Mitch, he does the exact opposite and goes backwards. And now those tackles, they expect to be able to push their man around the edge. And if the QB goes backwards, that's right in their line of fire. So as a defensive end, you love this. There's nothing you love more than the pocket being pushed back and the pressure. If you can get past the 2 yards, that makes all the difference in the world for the rushers off the edge.
Listen, take your you got your fork having your spaghetti watching Chiefs Live. It's easy to pound it. 50, 91, 92. If that happens this year, I'm telling you, I'll buy spaghetti for everybody.
Well, and in 3-4, you're going to bring another backer lots of times from somewhere, but you don't know where, and I promise you, you won't know where. And then you're going to see things like 56 jumping little inside routes, getting his hands on the ball and doing what he did a couple years ago, which is some pick sixes. I like the direction they're heading. Just want to see it continue this week.
Pound the fork. Alex Smith is probably the biggest story of this camp and how he's played. Right behind that, though, Kendall, it would be Dontari Poe and the fact that he could be the next big-time impact player in the National Football League on the defensive line. I caught up with Dontari after practice today, and he talked about his work at being an ascending player.
Just talk about the start to this camp. Let's talk about the other night, first of all, in that first series, and being able to get them off the field and what you were able to do up front.
It was big. You know, as we know, the Saints got Drew Brees. They got explosive offense. So, you know, we just had to come out there, kind of stick to our guns and play defense the Chiefs' way, and we'll be all right.
Now, it looks like, I mean, this has been a great spring for you, great training camp. What has happened for you specifically and what you've done to elevate your game?
Just being a year in, man, you kind of know stuff. The year I was in my rookie year, you know, you learn a lot. You learn the most probably. So me coming in, just remembering that and applying that and just sticking to it, man, and just focusing a lot harder. It's probably my biggest thing.
How much have you worked on your technique? I mean, people know you've got God-given physical talent, but what about the technique and what you learned last year to this year in winning those battles up front?
I learned a lot. TV coach Brazier kind of keeps us on it each and every day, and you got to be that way no matter how big, strong, fast you are. If you don't have too much technique, it's not going to work out too much for you. You can use your strength and speed once you kind of apply the technique to the field, but you need that in order to be effective.
Okay. Now, there's some kind of hidden messages to me in that interview. What are you seeing and what are you hearing from him?
Well, I had a chance to interview him a lot last year, and what I see there and what I've seen all camp is this is a very focused individual, but what I like even more, it's a very humble individual. Guys, folks, he's very unimpressed with himself. He's just trying to get better and do his job and be a good teammate, and that is exactly the type of person you want down there. And right now, you cannot help but be impressed with him.
There's a lot of reasons to be excited right now about this Chiefs team. Dontari Poe is one of them. And we've mentioned this before, but the other thing I'm seeing, Kendall, and I want to get your feedback here. People talk about all the Pro Bowlers last year. The Chiefs had six. Three of them were linebackers. Mm-hmm. To have an impact player, I mean big-time impact player, at the front and the middle and the back end of your defense, the teams that you've played on, those Steelers teams,
right?
What about having big-time players at all three levels of your defense?
Well, it's huge. You want playmakers at all three levels, and then you go back to the Steelers back then, Rod Woodson, you had him, you had Greg Lloyd, and then you had Kevin Green, people like that at all three levels. Here, if you've got Dontari, you've got the three linebackers. I won't single them out because you can't, quite honestly. Then in the you really can't single out the secondary also. I mean, because you've got Sean Smith bringing him in, but Brandon Flowers, I mean, Eric Berry back there. You've got a lot of pieces, and what I like is they're very unimpressed with themselves. They're just trying to learn to communicate and be the best they can be, and they understand that it's a process, and I really like that.
Well, this week the Chiefs get ready. Final week here in St. Joe, by the way. They'll work out again tomorrow here in the morning and on Tuesday and on Wednesday, then break camp Thursday, play San Francisco Friday. We're going to take a break. We'll catch up with you and get some of the things that are on your mind, and then we'll continue our look at special teams. What they did on Friday night, what Kendall was able to see, what they do this week. We'll hear from Dave Tobin more. Stay tuned on this Sunday night edition of Chiefs Live. We'll be right back. Mitch Holtis back with you along with Kendall Gammon. We want to hear from some of you out there and some of your thoughts. Again, to repeat if you joined us late, Eric Fisher did not practice today, has a hand injury. Donald Stevenson was back, however, and he was getting Fisher's reps at right tackle. Some other injury notes, in fact, you've asked about them. Let's get your thoughts on it, Kendall. Austin Lane, the defensive end that the Chiefs picked up from Jacksonville. Jacksonville released him middle of June. And was having a good camp. He had an injury, a rib injury, during the game on Friday night. And the question is, how much will that set him back? What are your thoughts on Austin Lane and where he fits into the numbers game?
Well, Mitch, he was having a good camp, and I expected to see a little bit more of him out of the game, or at the game, rather. But to answer the question, if he's hurt, if he's not on the field, he's not performing, then that does hurt his chances. But it'll be interesting to see how long he's out with that. Ribs are not a fun thing. I've had that as well. That is definitely painful, but we don't know to what extent. But I'm going to tell you, I mean, everybody that plays the game knows that they can't make the team if they're not out on the field showing what they can do.
Well, that comes to another question that's been asked. Junior Hemingway's now been out for a while. He's got a thumb problem at wide receiver. There's 12 wide receivers in this camp. What about Junior Hemingway?
Well, Junior also was having a very nice camp. You and I have talked about that a lot. But the fact is, again, if you're not out there, you can't do it. But wide receiver relies on his hands quite a bit. So you don't want to get out there until you're truly ready, because otherwise you don't show either. So he just needs to get healthy, then he needs to get back on, and you've still got 3 preseason games. You hope that he can get back for this one, but time will tell. We'll see as we go through this week what happens with him.
Another question from you is a very good one, and it kind of segues us into our special teams discussion. But Nile Davis, the rookie at the University of Arkansas, what did you see from Nile on scrimmage downs, and what did you see from him on special teams?
Well, he flashed the entire game. Scrimmage downs, I thought he did a nice job. I thought he did a good job of getting vertical with the ball. Then, of course, you see right here with the return game doing a good job. Here's where some running back instincts really kicked in terms of just going, getting vertical. Did a nice job getting the ball to the outside there. So if something happens, the ball goes to the bounds as opposed to inside. You know what? It's exciting. He's got a chance. Again, we've talked about it. When you're 5'10", 230, and you can run a sub 4.440, that's a good thing for not only yourself, but for the Chiefs as well, and certainly special teams here, like we just saw and are seeing again. Nice job. Now, this doesn't happen, quite honestly, if you're not coached up front and you've got guys in front of you. You know, I go back to my days when Dante Hall was doing it, and he always talked about it and gave credit to the fact that the guys up in front made it possible for him to have vision and see people and make the cuts he needed to make. And this is what you see right there, Nile Davis doing.
When I watched it on tape, well blocked, but he made 3 guys miss.
Yep.
And there were 2 that converged on him right away. And then he gets through that, or it wouldn't have been that big a return. And then he jukes the guy, and now he's off. And then he's got the speed to go to the second gear plus the power. I mean, Dave Tobe talked about him even before training camp started and what they could have with him. But we saw in this game, we're going to look at some of the other plays here in a minute about special teams, not everyone's going to go back for a score. But what about creating field position, flipping a game? We've seen Dustin Colquitt do it in the punting game, but that's been about it as far as flipping the game. But the return game, how much can it flip a game and decide a game?
You know what? Nothing gets a crowd pumped up or brings a crowd down than big plays in special teams, whether it's to or for you or against you. Creating field position is so important in the NFL because, you know, just like the first drive, I think 14 plays, those don't happen all the time. Sometimes you've got to create a short field for your offense so you can go and get some quick strikes and score 3 or 6. And then from the defensive side of it, Coach Reed's talked about it. The farther back you put, the lower the percentage goes in terms of driving for a touchdown. So field position, field position, field position. You know what? Great special teams will win you 1 or 2 games. And as we talked about, O&D is going to ebb and flow throughout the season, but special teams has to be there each and every week.
But what you're telling me is you're seeing it, and we saw it Friday night, an all 4 core special teams, kick, kick, return, punt, punt, return. Colquitt was awesome last year in punt, but you saw it Friday night in all 4 areas.
It was awesome. I thought the punt coverage was great. I thought, the punt return, of course you see that, and you see the long return like we see right here with Dex. That's a great job, but it's the people up front again. And let's talk about this. You know, when Dexter caught that ball, The two gunners on either side that are coming down to go after him, they were doubled. They were 15 and 20 yards away. Those are the guys that are supposed to get down there the quickest. When he has time to get to full speed, this is a guy that has a lot of nifty moves. I'll keep saying it. Growing up playing not it, he was never it, and it's because he's not only fast, but he's quick. I'm going to tell you right now, the fact, quite honestly, that he's small to a degree works to his favor also.
Okay, let's go back to the whole three phases thing now. Now, think of the sequence here. You had a 14-play, 80-yard drive, touchdown. We saw the pressure to get Drew Brees off the field. Boom, they punt. Now you get a 55-yard return to set up a field position, at least a field goal when the Chiefs went twos on ones. That was all in the same sequence.
Well, and just like that, you're up 10-0. That's big in the NFL. You get a two-score lead like that early on, you know what, just the momentum gets going. You would have liked, obviously, to get a score out of that after the big punt return. But the fact is, you get that going. That starts to snowball. I'm going to tell you right now, special teams is a momentum thing. I love Coach Tobin, how he is, because you get up for it. I felt like the team fed off of his energy, and you like that. You want your leader leading and leading his troops and moving along, and that's what I thought he did. It's fun, and it has a chance to be a lot of fun, quite honestly.
Well, let's take a look at the punt return again from McCluster, and I believe it's Kelsey that makes a big-time block. You talked about the gunners getting held up on the outside. But this 55-yard return, there is a key block that is put right there. The wall is set on the outside. It was Travis Kelsey who was able to kind of unlock the door and then set up the wall. But those are big-time plays. That's a play by a rookie. Jaleel Brown, Terrence Copper was out there on this unit. There's your block, kind of folding the guy back. And then it becomes contagious, and everybody wants to go get a block. Shoemaker actually makes a block there, the kid at Boise State. But to me, man, that gets me fired up because you have performers. We saw Davis perform making a play, McCluster. So it's execution plus playmaking and performance.
And when you get things like that going, Mitch, now all of a sudden every person on that return unit doesn't want to be that guy that missed his block that made the tackle. You just, it becomes this peer pressure, and it's good peer pressure. And that, again, that's what you want on special teams.
Well, the guy that's leading the peer class is special teams coach Dave Tobe, considered by many to be the best in his craft in the National Football League. Had a chance to hear from Dave after practice today, and he kind of echoed what you said, Kendall.
I was really pleased with the way the guys came out. Probably the most important thing is that we had 11 guys on the field every time. You know, that's the hardest thing in a preseason game because you have so much turnover, so many guys you want to look at. I was really happy with the way the guys responded. You know, we had a couple nice returns in there. They did a real good job with coverage on both punt and kickoff. So it's a pretty good start. Go ahead.
Would you say you expected that? I mean, 55-yard return and a 79-yard return.
Well, I mean, you always you want your guys to play good. You know, you want them to play well. And we have high expectations for this group. They work their butts off, and it's just good when you see guys work so hard and reap rewards like they did in the game.
Kendall, how impressive is Dave Tobe?
He is very, very impressive. I love everything about him. Had a chance to talk to him several different times. This is a guy that understands what he wants out of his men. He understands the abilities that he has to work with, and he understands also that there's a lot of abilities there, and that's a good thing for the offense and the defense and ultimately the Chiefs.
Again, the Chiefs will be on the field tomorrow morning and Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning, breaking camp here in St. Joe on Thursday, and then the preseason game at Arrowhead against the San Francisco 49ers. For Kendall Gammon, the snapper, Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, you've always wanted to be in a huddle. You want to be on the practice field at camp. 65TPT does exactly that. Enjoy your chance to run on the field with the Chiefs.
Come out here and do what we got to do, man.
Oh, looky here. Looky here. We know what's happening. Hey, listen. Get it right now. Make the play. Let's get it right now.
Come on, Tupac. Come on, come on, come on. Hands, hands, hands. Boom.
Let's go, D.
In OTAs, you kind of got a sense how practice was going to be. Even then, the people were flying around and, you know, you just knew, okay, once Pat gets on, it's going to be real intense out there.
Let's go, D. This is our drill right here now. We get better right here. Don't let them get nothing.
It's more plays. The intensity is higher. Full throttle every day. The biggest thing is just keep growing as a team. I feel like if we just learn how to fight through every situation and deal with adversity, I think everything else is going to take care of itself.
Hey, let's go, man.
Let's go, D.
Hey, here we go, guys. Pass now.
Here.
Check it, check it.
We good, Flo. We good. We good, Flo. We good, Flo.
These guys are definitely hungry. And I remember our first meeting, you know, guys coming in like, look, we're going to set the tone. We're going to set a standard. We want to be the best secondary, the best defense in the NFL from day one. So even in just tag off drills, you still see guys flying to the ball and being aggressive out there.
Let's go. Let's go.
Everybody's confident. Everybody's making plays. Everybody willing to learn, and everybody's buying in. That relationship, that bond we building with one another is translating that onto the field. Just building that chemistry and building that camaraderie, I think that's going to help us out in the long run.
Three, three, one, two, three.
Chiefs!